Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Walls.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Fantastic. Oh, my God. Good golly, Miss Molly, you have no idea, folks. It's been crazy. Yes, indeedy. It's been wild as can ever be. We got a lot of stories for you tonight. And let me tell you something else. I think I found a gold mine. That's right, a gold mine. And where is it? It's in a Ford dealership down there in Sunnyvale, California. You bet your sweet bippy, kids, because I tell you this, I got me a thing called a King Ranch Explorer. Unbelievable. I must have been hiding under a rock. We took it on a trip, and this damn thing pretty much drives itself. I'm going to tell you a story what happened with me. I got the finance and the manager down there on with us tonight. Eric, are you out there?
Hang on, just
Eric, you there?
There.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Tom.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Eric. He's a Orakiat is he's the sales manager, he's the finance manager, he's every kind of people's manager. He does everything that people want, believe me, okay? But let me tell you what he did for me. I can tell you what's the real deal. You go into these dealerships and you get all the bullshit stories. You know what I'm talking about. Go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Two times we talked. He met what I needed to get done with the figure I needed to spend. No bullshit, no this, that, and the other thing. We got the deal done, but the proof is in the pudding. Like I told you earlier, I must have been under a rock because I didn't know how cars are made today. They virtually drive themselves, folks, especially this car. I never knew the bells and whistles that it comes. You know, you start a car, bing, you put it in gear and it drives and you got to, you know, worry about what's next and all that. Not in this baby. And let me tell you why. I want you guys to understand this, and that's why I got him on the show with us tonight, because I was in shock. You know what cruise control is? Everybody knows. You know, you set it to a certain miles per hour, and most of the time you set it at 70 when you're on the freeway. I was on a five-hour trip, and I did it. But then I'm used to putting my foot on the brake when it gets congested and all this kind of stuff, and then you got to reset it and all. No more. Not anymore, folks. These damn cars virtually drive themselves. Let me tell you why. They reach a certain speed, and I was there in congested travel time going through this city, and it was bumper to bumper. Still had it on that damn cruise control, and I'm in the fast lane, the commuter lane, as they call it out here, okay? And all of a sudden, I'm going from 70 down to 25, and all I'm doing is steering. And by the way, it has a thing called lane assist that if you go outside your lane, it brings you in automatically. That's right. The friggin' car drives itself. And then it starts zooming up, brings you back up to 70 before you know it. So I went and I timed it 2.5 hours going through the mountains, going through congested area, going to areas that wasn't congested, and the car is driving itself. Quiet as can be. They make cars now that you don't hear any of the road traffic or anything else. And I'm saying, I'm sounding redundant. Where have I been, folks? Well, have I been under a rock? I guess so, because it's been 13 years since I bought a car. You know, I've got the Big Blue's got 374,000. The Jeep had 115 or whatever it was. My God, these cars today, and they all come with computers. And guess what? The navigation, it's a tablet that's in front, and it's all voice activated. I say, get me to 554. King Avenue in Sunnyvale. Boom, it pops up, starts the trip, and there you go. These cars drive themselves. I want to bring Eric on to tell you guys out there all around the globe, what's going on, Eric? Does this happen with all your models, or it's just the King Ranch?
Well, Tom, again, thank you for having me tonight. So what you got there was the 2023 Explorer King Ranch. The new technology since like 2022, what you experienced was the adaptive cruise control, which is in charge of driving the vehicle for you. The vehicle has also something called lane keeping assist, which is basically when you're driving over 40 miles per hour, the car detects the lanes, so it maintains the vehicle between these two lanes. So if you drift, the car will warn you first by vibrating with the steering wheel. If you don't do any action, the vehicle then will take action for you. This vehicle Tom is equipped with like almost 5 computers. It has like almost like 15 miles of wire under that hood. There's a lot of technology going on over there, and still the best is coming.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm experiencing that best, and I'm totally shocked. And everybody that, well, first of all, when they look at it, it's a stylish machine, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I talked to this about the Swede, and he's telling me the story in Arkansas and Oklahoma, they can't keep the damn things in stock because it's a very favorable model that people want, you know? And it just blew me away that, like Eric just testified, that, oh, my God, it all those miles of electronics and wires underneath that thing. I forgot to tell everybody, that's 360-degree mirrors on this damn thing. And the assist and anything, you know, the blind spots in the car, ladies and gentlemen, soon as somebody gets in that blind spot, you see it on the mirrors. That is unbelievable. Can you tell our listeners around the globe about that, Eric?
So the blind spot technology in the Ford, it was proven that it was the most accurate blind spot. So basically, if you see that there's a red dot in your mirror, the passenger or driver mirror, if you see that dot flashing, 100%, even if you don't see anything in that mirror, there is something in your left side. Be careful, do not take a left. Same thing for the right side. So it was proven again, Tom, with Ford, the blind spot was 100% accurate. If you see that thing flashing, 100% there's something that you don't see. So be careful.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's right. You heard what he said. You know, you see it flashing, and you can't, you know, help it because you're driving, and you see all of a sudden these yellow things popping up, and I'm saying, what the hell did that thing see that I don't? And they were in the blind spots, like he says, and I'll bet it caught it. It caught it right away. And the thing about it, I was getting tired, you know, about the three and a half hours into my trip, and I started to sway a little bit, and you can hear it going over the line a little bit. Man, and like he says, it sways you back in. I'm telling you, folks, you want a safe car, you want something that's reliable, and oh, by the way, the thing I didn't tell you, it's bumper to bumper. Bulletproof, like my Ram. It's bulletproof, okay? And it comes with the rig. You want to go get oil changes, you want to get tune-ups and all that, free. Comes with it, with the package I got. I'm telling you, this is probably going to be one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. We're going to have Eric on the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. He's going to tell us about other models. What do you have on sale right now, Eric?
So, Tom, let me tell you this. I would encourage everybody to check online. We are right now the lowest prices for new Fords in the whole Bay Area. I would love to challenge anybody that gets me a price lower than us. I'm going to give him an extra $1,000 discount. We are the lowest prices in the whole Bay Area. We have $4,000 off any F-150. We have almost $3,000 off any Explorer. I don't think there's anybody in the Bay Area can compete with these prices. And I would love to say anybody that comes and he's a referral from Tom, he's going to get an extra discount and special treatment.
Wow, Eric, how generous that you are. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? He will beat any price that you get from another dealer, Ford dealership. And if you tell them you heard it on the Bigfoot Show or mention my name, he'll give you an additional discount. And let me tell you something. This guy will shave it. He'll sharpen his pencil because he did it for me. No fuss, no muss. Where do you see when you go into a dealership and if you're not there 6 to 8 hours haggling with these dogs, you know, you say, I should have never come. Within 2 hours, I was in and out. It was an enjoyable situation. And kind of laughed because we got to know each other. Look at he's on the show with us tonight, okay? Must tell you something. I enjoyed him, and I'm sure he enjoyed me. Eric, thanks for taking the time from your busy schedule.
Thank you, Tom.
God love you, and we'll have you back next week, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. We'll see you next week. Take care.
God bless. Thank you so much.
God bless. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Eric down there in Sunnyvale, Florida. Unbelievable. You've got to go down there and see what I'm talking about. I'm in shock. I cannot believe what cars have come to today. And then I learned something that he just told you. It's the number one car when it comes to this kind of stuff. And all that wiring underneath. You know what, Swede? Are you out there?
I am, Tom.
What do you believe about this thing? Is it incredible or what?
Oh, I'm telling you, you didn't even mention the steering the headlights when you turn the corner.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Great technology. Great technology. You see it before you get there.
Yeah, yes, yes. And he's right, ladies and gentlemen. It does have that. I was shocked because it's a six-seater. And it's all that Corinthian leather, all, oh, my God, monogrammed. It's got the tits, I'll tell you right now. It's got the tits. It's just good shit, all right? And, you know, I wouldn't drive it if it wasn't. But to see how these people treat you, man, you're not just another piece of meat. No, you're a dollar sign. He'll meet your qualifications of what you need. And I'll tell you straight up, I was very impressed. And for me to get impressed, you got to go somewhere. But the key to it is, if the proof is in the pudding, Swede, and like you said, all those people from Arkansas, Oklahoma, and all around, they can't keep them in stock. Isn't that what you told me?
Oh, yeah, the King's Ranchers is a big deal here. All the country boys and all the city slickers want to have a King's Ranch pickup or the Explorer or... You know, I don't even know what all models. I know it's in the Explorer and the F-150s. You can get King Ranch and the F-250, I believe, you can get a King's Ranch. But they don't stay on the lot long. If you're not there, you'll have to wait 8 months.
Yeah, and I found that out here. But I'll tell you what, Eric is the connection for the King Ranch. I talked to him today in person, and he says, Tom, you get anybody or anybody wants one, he says, I'll have it to him within 72 hours. I'll tell you what, that's a big order to fill, but he's ready to do it. Okay, now let's get on to some business here today. By the way, I heard that you guys had Margo on the show last week. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And did she bring up...
We have Margo on the show tonight.
She's there now?
She's here now.
Let's get to commencing and talking to her.
There she is, right there.
Hey, sweetheart, how are you?
I'm good.
Tell me about the weather.
We had rain and a little bit snow again today. It's kind of crappy. And, yeah, it's foggy. Kind of yuck, but it's clearing up. Gotta tell, I think Friday here and there. Not too bad, I guess. At least we ain't flooding.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robin... And Kevin, out there in New York, they were supposed to be on the show, but they had some terrible weather. It was rain and cold, and it was down to 30-some-odd degrees. But they're getting a bunch of howls and stuff and knocks, and they were going to do a lot of recording for us out there, and which will hopefully next week, you know, the weather won't be so bad. You know, we started getting some good weather out here, and now, but like you just said, Margo, it's starting to get cold even here. How is it out there in Arkansas, Sweet?
85 degrees today.
Listen, the pendulum swing, ladies and gentlemen. Goes from 30 to 85. You know, you just don't know. What do you think, Swede?
We're going to have thunderstorms and severe weather tomorrow with the chance of the big baseball hail again.
Oh, my
God. We had last Saturday, knocked a bunch of cars, flattened out roofs, put rocks, put hailstones through the roofs. Completely through the sheetrock into the interior of the house. It was a bad storm last week, Saturday.
You know, let me ask you guys a question. You know, since you're in that kind of environment, do you have to have a special insurance?
Just the homeowner generally takes care of it. You know, you get roof damage or whatever. Usually it's not that extreme, But they really caught it in Fort Smith. It wiped out, you know, the car dealerships. Now, you talk about getting a deal. You can get you some deals right now on the Helldeck cars and trucks. But, yeah, they had it pretty rough. There was some baseball size and bigger hail. And it went right through the decking of the roofs, you know, and that's big hail. And the wind was blowing 70 miles an hour, so they had some velocity coming down, too.
So it's kind of like a projectile, okay, but it's ice still formed from the cold weather and the rain, and it's hitting something, and I'll guarantee you, at 70 miles an hour, that's got to hurt.
Oh, yeah, it's a wonder people don't get, you know, don't get hurt. You don't want to get caught out in that, that's for sure. There was some pretty scary video just stripping the tree limbs, you know, all the stuff off the trees and going through all the trampolines and busting up the all the patio furniture and the windows and the siding off the houses. And it's a pretty bad deal down there. I'll tell you what, we got hail here. I sent you a video there when, from the back porch. It hailed and covered the ground, but it wasn't much bigger than a quarter. You know, it wasn't that bad here. But we're supposed to have some more tomorrow and a pretty good chance of it, I guess. So we get a few days of warm weather and get the garden up, just, you know, get the garden going good, just enough to flatten it out with hailstones.
you never know if you're winning or you're losing, do you?
Hopefully it won't be too bad. They're talking there's a good potential for it, and, you know, I feel sorry for the people to the east of us, because they're really going to be in the bullseye. They're in the fourth. We're in the one threat, and they're going to be in the four threat, even potentially for tornadoes and such from Missouri all the way down to Louisiana. So,
well, we're
going to
put a lot of praying, trying to make sure that it goes the other way, and it's a shame this time of year. Here it is. Hey, another week, it'll be May. I mean,
yes, I know.
What do we got? 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days, and it's going to be May. Before you know it, it's summer, crying out loud. Well, yeah, let's get back to Margo, because, Margo, I didn't get a chance to come on the show, but the boys were telling me how intriguing it was. And I hear you had your neighbor with you too, huh?
Yeah, that's my friend. She usually comes and stays with me here and there, and she does house sitting and dog sitting and stuff for me. So she experienced quite a bit being over here, and she went home for some rest. Two nights, stuff just kept hitting the house, kept her up all day and night. So she went home. Trying to catch up on sleep, she said.
So the creature was actually, now slow down now, because you're a quick girl. I'm just an old boy from Brooklyn, New York, and you guys talk so fast and everything, I just can't understand sometimes. So tell my listeners around the globe what actually they do. What do they do? They knock on your siding? Do they knock on your door, on your windows? Do you hear howling? How does it work?
We hear, whoop, whoop, stuff like that. We hear crunching. I took pictures. I don't know if they got them or looked at them, but I took pictures the other day when I got to get to the snow where I had seen prior footprints. So finally the snow got below my knees, so I walked through it, and I got what I could with my 4-foot yardstick. But like they said, everything's melting here, and but today we have rain and that, and a little bit snow, but nothing bad. But yeah, and then I just get rocks. We had, I don't know how this was happening, 4 or 5 foot snow. We were getting rock pebbles thrown at the house. We would find them laying in front of my house. It hits the back of my house. I don't know what he threw at it last night, but it woke me up about 4 this morning, and I got my dog scared, whimpering. I had to put them all in. I think it was about 4 this morning. They were, the two big ones stay outside and two stay inside, and I had to bring them all in. So they didn't go out till like 7:30 this morning, finally. But no, they're raising heck out there again, so they're kind of howling, so I don't know what's going on out there. I don't even want to look out my windows right now.
So let me ask you something. Let me paint the picture for my listeners around the globe, if you don't mind, Margo.
Mm-hmm.
Picture this, folks. You live out in the country, right?
Yes.
What's your closest neighbor?
My sister, probably 100 or 150 yards, maybe further away, but we're all in wooded. We're all separated, put them all the ways down, but they all hear stuff too. Raise heck with them. They hear the same stuff I do. So he just has his own little trail throughout, and all of our pets raise heck. My sister was up yesterday because I have a quilting machine, so she came up to use that, and she told me they were outside, and they got the smell, and all the dogs start whining, not barking, they all start whining. She has six dogs, German Shepherds. So, and she keeps them in the pen, but they were scared. And this was just last week when it was nice out, when we had 52-degree weather. That was beautiful weather, so everybody's out and about around here. So they were doing that, and they got the smell of them. It just stunk. Something fierce, she said. And so she experiences stuff, too. And she's probably, I don't know, a half a mile down for me, maybe.
Okay, so here's my question that I want to pose to all you. How many people are in your house?
Right now?
Last night, how many people were in your house?
Just me.
Ladies and gentlemen, visualize this if you may. You're out there in a wooded area. Closest neighbor, 600 yards, whatever, mile and a half, whatever she said. And 4 o'clock in the morning and all night long you're hearing somebody knocking on the walls and throwing stones at your house and hearing howls, whoops. What was that? What would you do, ladies and gentlemen? What happens if your phone is down and you can't get any coverage? What happens when the snow gets there and the electricity goes out and you don't have a generator? What would you do, ladies and gentlemen? Think about it. This woman, how long have you been going through this, Margo?
Since I moved back up 6 years ago, because I lived in Fargo for like 4 years with my education. I moved home and I moved up here like 6 years ago, but I was living down in my older sister's house, and it started down there actually in 2014. It started, it was hitting the house back there. We could smell stuff. I mean, one time this scared the crap out of me. The door on her house has this big window on it, and my brother stayed in his camper in the yard right next to the home there. I mean, kind of little, probably about 30 feet away from the home. And so I had a habit of looking and checking on him. He's my older brother. And then I was going to look out the bathroom window, and I seen the yard light. That usually shined in on the back door area. So I was going to go look out the window in the back door because we had the yard light. And the yard light was shining bright. I just seen it looking out the window. Something big and black was standing in that. Took up that whole dang doorway. Scared the heck out of me. My sister-in-law was there. Spent the night with me that night. It was just me and her. My brother was in his camper. And he said, one of his windows open. He said something fierce stunk. And this was like 3:30 in the morning when I did this. And he said it stunk so damn bad out there. And I said, Blake, something was standing on the back porch, right on the door. It blocked the whole dang door. That's what I told my brother, and his arms, literally, his hair on his arms just stood up right there, and he said, I smelled something horrible last night. I said, this was about 3:30. He said, yep, that woke me up, that smell. But so this has been going on with me since 2014, but I moved up here 2016 or 17, I think it was. And ever since, and I'm always only the one here, home all the time, because Bubba's out on the road all the time, so it's only me and my dog. So so that's what I get to endure. And then when it snows, I'm screwed. I'm blocked in for 2-3 days at a time because the snow is 3-4 feet deep, and I have to wait for a plow to come through to plow me out. So I'm kind of screwed where I live.
You know what, Margo? You know, you're different. You're not normal than the average Joe living in, you know, suburbanite areas of the rest of this country. And let me explain why, okay? You know, people like, oh, well, let's live out, you know, in suburbia. Oh, it's attractive homes. And there's a home right next to each other and maybe a couple, 300 of them. And, of course, they got malls and they've got shopping strips and all that kind of stuff. And, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what she had to say? She's stuck there for 3-4 days, 3 foot of snow, 4 foot of snow, till a plow comes and gets her and opens it up for her so she can get out of there. What
yep.
would you do? Would your imagination go wild? Think about it. Remember, we're all saying, oh, well, we'll do this, we'll do that. Until you get out there and experience it, it's a whole new world, baby.
You don't know nothing.
That's right. Boy. I was there. I was in Montana, okay? I was in Montana when the snowdrifts there are just unbelievable. And the wind is just fierce as hell. I've seen the snow and the wind take a train and take it off the tracks.
Yep.
I've seen an actual crane that comes out and picks the train up, okay, and puts it on the track, the locomotive now I'm talking about, which is heavy as hell. Think about it.
Mm.
And they put it back on the tracks. And the place we were staying at, Margo, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
The wind had taken the snow, put it against the front door, and it reached the roof around 8-foot swell. We could not open up the front door to get out.
Yep.
Okay? So they had this problem before, and they cut a hole in the roof, believe it or not. It was on like those slanted roofs that the snow would, like a chalet, and would, you know, come slide off when it started to melt. And they had a big shovel, and because the guy couldn't come out there neither, he was so trapped up with his own work around the reservation. And it took him, one guy, oh, I'd say about 6 hours just to get a path through all that crap to get us out of there.
Yep.
It was unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, you just don't know. Have you ever experienced any of that, Swede?
The only time I experienced any snow like that was in Michigan. A two-story house where it drifted up to the top floor and couldn't get out the upstairs door.
And what'd you guys do?
Dig out. The door opened in and all a bunch of just a big wall of snow, and you just start digging. So you get out on it.
You know what I'm imagining right now as you just said that? You know, you're shoveling shit against the tide because every time you think you're shoveling, it's coming back in at you or caving in on you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was all inside the house. You know, you open the door, it's just a straight wall of snow. So
soon as you start digging, you get a bunch of it in the house, and you finally get you out to the outdoor, you know, where you can get out and then start come back in. And my dad would dig it with a snow shovel, with a small snow shovel, and throw it back out that hole. And he'd walk down that big drift, way steep, all the way down to the street and go to work.
Wow. Did that ever happen to you, Margo?
Oh, yeah. Several times. I've only lived in North Dakota, and we get that happens quite often. So we get a lot of, like, where I stay, it's all wooded, so everything just kind of blows in a circle, and it just kind of stays put. It has nowhere to go because I have big hills around me. I'm just secluded, and it's just, it's a beautiful area. It's just that I'm just secluded.
No,
I love it here.
No, I totally understand it. Well, listen, thanks for keeping us abreast of what's going on, number one. Number two, anything new happens, please call Rocky or the Swede and let us know. Keep us apprised of the situation. And we're gonna go to commercial, but right after on the other side of the commercial, I'm going to tell everybody about our new adventure coming on, that we're going to be going to Thailand and the Philippines. So, Rocky, it's all yours. Let's pay some bills, son.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I got to tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, every time I hear that little ditty, you're going to hear me say the same thing over and over and over. Hair goes up in the back of my neck. I listened about when all those things happened. Hear those voices. They're in our movie. And it just brings me back like you won't believe. I say to myself, you know, I've endured all of those trips. I endured the chigger bites. I endured the snake bites. I endured the malaria. I endured the quicksand. And when I look back on it and people say, would you do it again? Hell yeah. I was young and stupid. I'll be the first one to tell you. And when you're young, stupid, and cocky, you think you're going to conquer the world. And you're stronger than anybody else, okay? Remember one thing, what goes up has to come down. And yeah, when you're younger, you're going to find out you're going to get older. So therefore, when you get older, what happens, Rocky?
I don't know. I'm not getting older.
Well, Well, you ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer, I guess. Yeah, you're not, you'll never get older. But the answer I was looking for, ladies and gentlemen, is real simple, okay? As you get older, the body wears out. The brain isn't as strong as it used to be, even though we all think that it'll never happen to us. And you'll find out that, oh, there's a thing called arthritis. So when you shake somebody's hands, even if he's just a little stronger than you are, you think somebody just broke your fingers. So what I'm just trying to say, and it's just common sense, folks, is that when you're young, you're full of piss and vinegar, and there's not a mountain out there that you can't climb and conquer. But as you get older, a good friend of mine, and you guys have heard of him, his name is Robert Holmberg. He said to me a long time ago, he said, hey, Tom, as we're coming down, and refer this with bulls, okay, and cows, ladies and gentlemen, not people. here, these two bulls are coming up, and on the horizon, they see all these cows. So the young whippersnapper bull says, hey, come on, let's rush down there and go get us some. And the older whippersnapper says, wait a minute, son. Let's walk, take our time, and not get some. We'll get them all. So I'm sure you can understand where I'm coming from with that. And I learned that from Mr. Holmberg himself. Smart dude, smart dude. But, yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's called progression of aging. Simple as that. And I'll be the first one to tell you. That can I climb that mountain? Possibly. Can I do it like I was 24? Hell no. Will I have the intentions? Tensions are there. Could I not make it? You bet your sweet ass. You're right. I can't. I don't know if I can or not until you get out there and try it. But I'll tell you this. I got something coming up that's going to happen in November. And we've been invited by a monk from Thailand because of the Aranj Pantek. The stories are getting more and more and more, and we're working with the government right now as we speak through our interpreter and to our monks who contacted me that we're going to do a three-week expedition there in Thailand. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting a deal that they got the word got out in the Philippines, and they got a creature over there. They're all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. We've talked about this many, many times, okay? So it's only a three-hour flight from Thailand to the Philippines, and they want us there. So, you know, we're working out on the particulars. The cameras are going to be rolling 24/7 the entire time we're there. We're going to have protection. Those of you who say, hey, these are third world countries, you know, are they crazy out there? Just like you're hearing what's going on down there in Mexico with the cartels. People are going down and vacationing and tourism, and they're getting kidnapped. Well, of course, that's all of our concerns. But when you're invited by the government, I'm sure they're going to protect you. And I have faith in our governments. I have faith in the people who run our governments and things of that nature. Some of the team's going to be able to make it. Some of the team's not going to be able to make it because of prior commitments and family ties and things of that nature. This is going to be my last one, folks. And I'm going to tell it out there right now to everyone. And I'm not ashamed of it. I put in my hours. I put in my dues. But I'm going to be there, and a younger crew that I'm bringing with me will be under my tutelage and my advising. And I'm going to have the guys that are half my age, who I can count on, people I can trust, and people I can depend on, that's going to be out there getting what we need to get done with boots on the ground with the local people out there. Most of the fact-finding and introductions in the beginning will be me, and I'm going to tell you this: it's going to be an adventure of a lifetime, because we're going to be going to areas that have never been opened to the public before. We'll have the right people there who are from that region. And, of course, everything that's needed on our equipment list will be given to us there. And those of you who know what I'm talking about know what the equipment is. And I think it's going to be it's going to yield a lot of fruit for all of us. And I'm hoping that we get a lot of this on film that we can bring back and prove it to the world that it does exist down there. And oh, by the way, I want to give you a stat that out of every 100 people in Thailand, 75 are in Bigfoot. That's pretty incredible stuff. And it makes me feel, wow, you know, this is a country that has something and they want to know, and they're reaching out to me. And what an honor. Can you think about, what do you think of that, Rocky?
You know, it sounds like it's going to be it's going to be the highlight. A lot of years putting boots on the ground over here, but to go, a lot of reasons I'm not able to go. One of them is the fact that I can't climb that hill either. Of course, you know, normally I've got the Swede with me and he can always carry me up to the top, but. I don't get around like I used to. And, you know, I'm going to be praying for the boys. And I'm glad that Tom is getting this opportunity. I've always said that the main reason I'm in on this is because I want to prove to the world that, you know, Tom was right all along, but I would rather Tom prove it himself. I'd like to see him coming down the road in his King Ranch Ford with a Bigfoot on the hood.
God love you, man.
Well, ow. You know, it is what it is, and I feel kind of like a horse's ass because I won't be there to back you up.
And you know what, Rocky? I respect that more than anything, and you know this. We've talked. Ladies and gentlemen, we almost lost him last year due to this goddamn COVID bullshit, and it's affected him deeply. Not just his breathing, but a lot of other parts of his body, just like I got to tell you a story I just found out today. And, you know, it sounds like doom and gloom, but I'd rather let the people know the truth than, you know, hide it and don't let them know nothing. A good friend of my family, Landucci is the last name, just passed away yesterday. Was paranoid to beat hell, would not go outside during the COVID. They used to bring her food in. Anything she needed, they brought in for her. The doctors would come see her. She would not go out to see doctors or anything else. And she had eight COVID shots. Well, she passed last night, okay? Announced to us till we got the call today. And she was in the hospital this last time for 4 months. And she had, how she got the COVID, nobody knows except for the people that came to see her, you know, to deliver the goods and all the doctors or any of that kind of crap. That's the only thing they suspect. She ends up in the friggin' hospital. They eight shots, Rocky, not the, you know, the two basics and then the additional ones afterwards, and then I guess I came up with another one. You couldn't give me another friggin' shot. I don't want no more shots, okay? I'm tired of taking pills. I'm at that time, you know, point in my life. But here's a woman that was never sick a day in her life, healthy as can be, 160-pound bruiser, okay? Well, she died, and she was 117 pounds, you know, nothing but skin and bones, and scared shitless about this damn disease. And I want to share it with you people around the world because it's called reality, okay? That's what it's all about. It's called reality. And I was in shock when I heard this because I'm thinking to myself, really? Here's a woman that took all kinds of precautions. And look what happened, Rock. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. The you know, I took no precautions. Well, of course, you know, I've seen so many people here around me, customers and all that. I've seen them come in and, you know, they've had their shots. They've had, they got four masks on and rubber gloves and all that. And they come into the restaurant, take their masks off, and think, well, you know, I'm sitting down so I can take my mask off. I don't know how much that mask did. I didn't do the mask. I didn't do the shots. And it liked to kick my butt, but it didn't. It didn't. I say all the people that it did, though. Friends of mine, a friend of mine came in the other day. He was in a coma for like, he said that he woke up and he rubbed his hand across his face and he had a full beard. He had never had a beard before in his life. He stopped saying real regular and checks on me, see if I'm okay. And I told him, you know, I said, I hate to tell you, but I'm more okay than you are. Yeah, it hasn't been fun, but I'm at the point right now that out in the sticks and all that, and then since I got sick, I've been out to the woods twice, three times. And it was hard times, but it's like I say, I've always had the sweet to rely on. Last time I went deer hunting, I was sick to the point that Robert had to carry my gun back for me because I couldn't do it. And well, you know, I'd like to be there for Tom and go on his anniversary. And,
congratulations, young man.
Yeah, that's we're the only Slavens that has made it 50 years, other than my grandparents and Granny and Granddad Slavens made it 50 years. But not much more than that. Well, I told everybody when we had that 50th anniversary that I probably wouldn't have another 50th anniversary, but I was going to stick around a long time because I was going to give them hell till the day I died. And they said that they already knew that. They knew what to expect.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, I'll tell you this, Rocky, and you know this from the bottom of my heart, that we'll miss you out there in physical being, but I know that you'll be there in spirit and mind and anything that we do need there that we need from here in the States, that you're at the ready to get it for us, I'm sure. I have no doubt about that. And you know that we'll be, I was thinking about this and wanted your idea on it, is I'm thinking about on Wednesdays for those 3 weeks anyway, or maybe we'll do three shows a week from location there in Thailand. And, of course, you'd have to be there, you know, manning the post there where you're at, and giving the people a blow-by-blow as we see it, when we see it, and how we see it. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm here for you.
I know you are, buddy, and thank you for what you've said. I want to get the Swedes' touch on this. Swede, what do you think about
it? Swede dropped off.
Swede dropped off?
Swede dropped off.
Is that right?
Well, he may be, I thought he was sending me a message, but
it's okay,
not.
Don't worry about it. He gets up awful early, you know, and
yes,
he's got all that stuff to take care of on the ranch. Not only that, he was weeding out the herd, I heard today, and taking some those things to slaughter, steers out to slaughter.
Yeah.
So he's probably exhausted, poor guy. He really is.
Not,
well, look at this. I'm sitting here looking at the time and saying, oh, my God, here it is. The tick-tick on the wall is saying, hey, the hour's already gone, for crying out loud. You see what happens, ladies and gentlemen? When you get the right material and the people who know what they're talking about, my gosh, it just the time just goes because you're having so much fun, huh, Rocky?
That's right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, the clock on the wall is telling us another hour is gone, and the searching for Bigfoot hour has come to its end. And Rocky, myself, Margo, Eric, the Swede, and all of the rest of our fans around the globe, kudos and salutations. Until next time, America, good night. Good night, Rocky. Sleep well, my brother.
Good night, Tom.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together.
Did you add that there, Chris? Hey, Rose, how are you? Hey, sweetheart. Did you see a
You going out with him tonight? You going to go outside? I'm not going to be able to say it by the way. You going to go outside? That's fine. My sweet girl. She wants you to have it. She wants you to have a lot of perfect. Okay. Mama, look at my girl. Robert hung up on us tonight.
Huh?
Robert hung up on us tonight. So I started talking about your trip to Thailand. Big mountain, Thailand, and Thailand to the Philippines. And so I'm going to have to explain to him that I can get him loose tonight. But that's it. He's talking like he wants me to do it three times a week until they get back. Yeah. Huh? Who? Nobody. Nobody has. He wants to tell him that I can't do it. Too. Jerry. Love you. I'm really good.
You're hearing anything?
Huh?
You're hearing anything?